with that and with that heavy responsibility, I think it's perfect that today we're talking about the Spirit-filled leader and the Holy Spirit, because, oh man, I just can't say enough about how, in my tradition, I don't know your background, but my background is a more conservative church where the Holy Spirit was avoided. We didn't talk a lot about Him. We would never deny Him, you know, of course, yeah, the Holy Spirit, very, very important. But in all actuality, in day-to-day, week-to-week living, what's the difference between a person with the Holy Spirit and someone without? And so when we come to this topic, I know some of us come from that background where we would theologically on a test say, yes, I have the Holy Spirit in me. Yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Yes, I believe the Spirit of God. And, you know, like we have it up here possibly, but He's not a real part of our everyday life. And then I've talked to many others who come from churches where they're always talking about the Holy Spirit, but it's like they were giving the Holy Spirit credit for everything. And so even things that may have been manufactured, or it's like, ooh, what's that twitch in my shoulder? I think that was the Holy Spirit. Hey, you know, and then so pretty soon everything's about the Holy Spirit. And it's a different way of almost dumbing down the holiness of God and the amazing thought of the Holy Spirit of God and what He does. We don't want to trivialize Him, you know, with every little thing. At the same time, we don't want to neglect Him. We want to take a biblical stance. And the truth is I use this illustration a lot. It's like, man, if I'm stuck on an island and I just read this book, okay, I'm just on that island reading this book, never been to a church, no one's ever preached to me, I've just read this over and over and over, what would I come away with? And I just was asking myself that question, you know, like years ago, going, okay, just from the Bible, what would I say I needed to do? You know, pray a prayer and ask Jesus into my heart, receive Him? You know, what would it be? And I thought, no, I think I really would, like, just go, okay, I need to turn from living for myself and follow Jesus. I need to get baptized. And, oh, man, I need this feeling of the Holy Spirit. I need the Spirit of God to enter into me, or I'm not going to make it. Like this, there's going to be tremendous, tremendous power when the Holy Spirit enters into me. I mean, based upon what I read in this book, He'll make me a slave to what's right. He's going to give me the power to have these supernatural gifts to influence other people. But it's like, that's the difference between being dead and living in the flesh and being alive, living by the Spirit. I would expect this tremendous power, you know, and then to be rescued off that island and brought to civilization. Like, what are my thoughts on what the church would look like? And man, I would assume it's these people that are not like everyone else. But wouldn't you just expect a massive difference? Just from Scripture, between a person with the Holy Spirit and the person without. If you go just by Scripture. And it's just crazy how nowadays we're not seeing much difference between a person who supposedly has the Holy Spirit in them and a person who doesn't. And that's not right. I mean, we're talking about the Spirit of God. We're talking about Romans 8:12, the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead now lives in us. Okay, think about that. The Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead. To use that idea of that kind of power, I mean, imagine a crucified body laying up here. You can just picture a dead body just dripping, just blood everywhere, just mutilated. I mean, it's just horrifying. And to see that body, what if we could see that body stand up, heal himself, and walk around? Can you imagine how terrified we would be? How in awe, like, nothing matters now that I've seen that kind of resurrection power. And Romans 8 says the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. Like that kind of power. Man, I'm confessing, you guys, I don't get it completely yet. But I don't want to fall short of this. I want to stay in pursuit. I want to have a body around me that says, you know what, I believe that too. And I'm tired of people telling me, I can't do this, I can't do this, I'll never figure it. No, man, I've got tremendous power in me. I mean, do people that attend church services and our gatherings, do they believe this about themselves? But it starts with us, right? We talked about this. We're the leaders. It's like, do we believe this about ourselves? I mean, when you look in the mirror or you just think about yourself, do you think about that kind of power being in you? Because I forget and I get insecure and I'll go speak somewhere and go, oh man, I don't know if I can pull this off, or I'll be sitting next to someone, you know, on the plane and going, man, I don't know if I'll have the words to say. And I won't think through, in fact, wait a second. I've got tremendous power. I'm not just some human being walking around trying to use his human brain. Like, I've got the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead in me. And I need to display that to the world. I need to display it to the church. So then I'm an example to the people around me where, again, they're going to follow our example. And so evaluate your life right now. Because we're not looking for people to just do things in the flesh, you know. And I think church can become that very easily. And I think that's what we've kind of grown accustomed to is, okay, you're strong, why don't you move chairs? You know, like we just give tasks and this and this and this, and we just do things. Like, you can lead a Bible study without the Holy Spirit of God. You know, if you can read, you can lead a Bible study. If you can ask a question, you can lead a Bible study. But we're talking about something so much greater than that, which is the example of a spirit-filled human being where the world would be shocked by the things that we do. So just as we talk about this, something I want you to think about is we as leaders should be constantly changing. Like, I hope you're not the same person you were 3 months ago. Okay? Because we're teaching the Word of God and this should be impacting us. Like, we should be changing. We should be growing in our courage, we should be growing in our boldness, growing in our holiness. So just always ask yourself, man, am I a different person? Am I a different man or woman than I was 3 months ago? Because I've got the Spirit of the living God inside of me, and He's leading me into this process of sanctification and making me more and more like Christ. I love the passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, Paul's talking to this church, and in verse 4 he says, "For we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Okay, so Paul starts off, you know, writing this letter to these people, and he says, look, I know that God chose you. Basically, I know you're saved. But how does he know that they're saved? He doesn't say, because I remember when you prayed that prayer. I remember when you cried. I remember when you got baptized. He doesn't say any of that. He goes, you know what? I know, we know, brothers, loved by God, that He has chosen you. What? because our gospel came to you not only in word, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, with full conviction. Then he goes on and he lists, we saw the changes in your life. You started imitating us. You know, you turned from your idols and you started following. He names all their actions, but it's all about, look, I know you're saved because we saw the words didn't just land on flesh. But it was like, wow, that came in the power of the Holy Spirit because your whole life changed. You started getting persecuted. You didn't back down. You held on. You had this joy in the Holy Spirit. Even though the Holy Spirit was telling you to repent and to turn from those things, you just did it. And he goes, we don't even have to talk about your faith. I don't have to tell people, oh, the Thessalonians became Christians. He goes, because you're talking about it all the time. You're like trumpeting is that word there. It's like sounding forth from you. And I just think, again, we live in a time where we don't talk about the results of the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all about, oh, we passed on this knowledge and he intellectually said he believed that. And Paul here is saying, no, I know that you guys are real because I see it in your life. I see it in your actions. I see when we read the Word of God to you, like you receive it with joy, even in persecution. It's all right. And there's action to it, you know? So I just... I guess one of the things that was so frustrating to me was I looked at so much of what we did in quote-unquote church, and I thought, this is so explainable, even if there's no Holy Spirit. And that just doesn't seem to be congruent with this book. Like, who wants to do that? What I mean by this is, I believe I can draw a crowd to any religion. I don't mean to be cocky or whatever. I just think the Lord's given me some gifts and leadership, and I could get the right people in place and draw a crowd together and create energy, get a good band and whatever else. I believe if I was president of Kentucky Fried Chicken, I could fire up, you know, managers and workers and, you know, and just make the colonel someone to be admired. You know, like, we have, people have natural gifts. And it's like we can put on these church services where we'll bring in, like, you know, an illusion. David Copperfield's coming, you know, and we'll fill up a stadium and we'll get some, you know, crossover band to come, you know, that's kind of half Christian, half not, you know, and get them and get everyone all fired up. And then I'll come up and just, you know, give some motivational message. Yeah, you know, and at the end of the day, wow, God really moved. It's like, I don't know, like that would have worked for anything. You know, and what I see in Scripture is it's like God wants to do things that you couldn't have done it any other way. Like that was impossible. Like fire literally came down from heaven and consumed that sacrifice. Or fire came down and landed on their heads and they started speaking in other languages. I mean, that early church, it was like the supernatural, like power. And I'm still seeking more of this and saying, God, I do look at my life and go, gosh, that's incredible. Where you took me from, like that didn't make any sense. Why'd you take me from that? I was nothing. I was doomed. And you took me to this place. And I'm just saying there's just still so much more. And I just don't want to do church in such a way that's explainable. Where it's like, well, if you get the best businessmen together, you know, the best artists together and the best communicators together, then you can create a stir. But you really can do that for anything. Yeah, for Burning Man, you can do it. You just, this is our world, you know? And the thing is you can bring, I mean, whoever. Beyonce can fill a room and create energy, you know? And it's like, okay, but what this book tells me is that there's something so much more. And I want all of it. And I'm saying I haven't been able to experience all of that. And maybe it's because I've never really just pursued a body of Christ where I go, come on, you guys, you all believe this, right? And we all want something more. And I think we need to do this together to remind each other of the power that's in us. Too often when people sin, we just put our arms around them and go, oh, yeah, I sin also. Rather than like going, man, do you understand how much power is in you? How much power is in me? We don't have to fall. We don't have to have these meetings every week where we just confess the same old sins over and over and over and comfort each other. It's like, oh, we're still sinning, you know? But to really go, no, we can put this to death according to Scripture. Let's put this thing to death, you know? Let's live in a different way and let's seek a greater power that's not just using our human giftedness, but saying, God, no, this is a manifestation of your Spirit. So there ought to be more. Man, I hope you hear me. Like, I'm amazed at what God's done and allowed me to be a part of in my life. I just don't want to end life like this. I think there's more. I think there's a lot more. From what I read in this book, I think there's more. And I want to pursue it. And I want to trivialize the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, a passage I'm sure you're all familiar with, Ephesians 5, verse 18, where he says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. He starts off that phrase, he says, don't get drunk with wine because that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. I love that analogy because he compares being drunk with wine to being filled with the Spirit. Picture a drunk person. I mean, we've all seen it or been it. You know, it's just, you know, when someone's just drunk out of their mind, it's like, it's so obvious. It just, you just look, it doesn't take very long. What, 10 seconds? And you go, man, that guy is on something. He is just, he's out there. And he uses that picture and he says, okay, I want you to be filled with the Spirit. That type of person where they spend just a few seconds with you, a few minutes with you and go, okay, what is this about? Okay, there's something different about you. I mean, I believe it can be to that extreme. But it's interesting, after he says that, be filled with the Spirit, he explains it, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything. Like, these are the participles he uses to explain being filled with the Spirit. So being filled with the Spirit equals addressing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Like, you're so filled with the Spirit, boom, it's just like, gosh, psalms come out of your mouth, hymns come out of your mouth. Like, I haven't met that many people like that. Like, I want to become more like, you know, one person that comes to my mind is Johnny Erickson Tada, you know, who's been a paraplegic for almost 50 years now. But every time I see her, like, I can't spend 2 minutes with her without her quoting a verse, or she'll literally just start singing. I mean, but this girl, you know, this woman, she just talks about, man, I've been in this wheelchair for almost 50 years now, you know, diving accident when she was a teenager. And she goes, if I ever stop praising God or singing or whatever, I'll just lose it. She's every morning to when you wake up, all that means is your eyes open and now someone's got to pick you out of bed, change you, bathe you, take you to the bathroom, feed you, do it all day long, and then lay you back in the bed till the next day. And to do that for almost 50 years now, she says, if I don't praise God incessantly, I'll just want to kill myself. You know? But I want to be that type of person that, man, I'm just those things, you know, where you're just, when you address people, it's like you tell them about what you're reading in God's Word, and you're thankful for everything. Like everything. That's why I just try not to complain about anything in my life. Like really, just literally never complain, but give thanks to God for everything. I mean, and, you know, for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the moment you wake up, it's like, wow, God, another day to serve you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this breath. Thank you that I can think today. Thank you that I can get up. My friend Johnny, she can't even get out of bed. Man, I'm up. Thank you that I know you. Thank you. I can't believe I'm talking to the God of the universe. Thank you, because if I wreck my car, I die. It's nothing to fear. I get to be with you. Thank you that all of my sins are forgiven, like all through the day, thanking God for everything. Coming here, go, man, it's Sunday afternoon. Yeah, I'm a little tired. I feel a little sick, you know, whatever. But it's like, you know what? This is so cool. Look at this. Man, we got brothers and sisters here that are talking about, no, let's do church the real way. Let's go 100% after this. I've got people that are devoting their lives, that work full-time jobs and are shepherding people and shepherding them well. And it's like, wow, we got a little army here that's becoming like a family, you know, like thanking. Like that's what the Spirit-filled person is compared to the person who just finds something wrong in everything. You know, and a lot of times when we talk about being Spirit-filled, we don't talk about what Scripture says, you know, and what Scripture emphasizes. But if the Spirit-filled person, he'll be addressing you. She'll be addressing you with psalms, hymns, spiritual song. I love that idea of singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, like just an ongoing song in your heart throughout the day. You know, it's just, you're driving, you know, just in your heart, you're just worshiping Him. You got this melody going, how great is our God, you know, and then you see someone and you're just like, man, isn't that great? Isn't God amazing? Isn't this intense? I mean, what an amazing day today was. And just tell them about your Thanksgiving or whatever. Like, could you, I mean, what if we were all like that? You know, like this is what God wants. This is what a Spirit-filled person does. And for us to be that type of community that regardless of everything, we're giving thanks to God for everything in Christ Jesus. And then it says, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. That's a sign of a Spirit-filled person, is a desire to submit to others out of reverence for Christ. And then he goes on, his wife, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. And then he talks, children, obey your parents. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling. This is all a part of being Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled person is not a rebellious, anti-authority type of person, but you take on the Spirit of Christ who gladly submitted to His Father and comes under His leadership. That's why we're trying to create a picture to the world of, man, authority can be a great thing. You know, that's why we don't want any negative talk in here about the elders or this pastor. We can't allow that in the church because it's like, no, we're trying to give the world a beautiful picture of authority. You know, it's like when, you know, I've shared that before. When I adopted Dalal, it's like, I go, honey, I want you to one day love authority, because I don't think you've ever liked authority. You know, and most people don't. But I want to show you such a good picture. You know, that by the time you graduate high school, you're going, man, I'm so glad that Francis was my authority. Like, that's my goal, is to be that great of a leader, because because that's the way I view God and His authority. Like, it's a good thing. And that these laws or whatever He gives me, man, they lead to life. And so this is all a part of being Spirit-filled. And so, man, I challenge you with that passage just to evaluate, man, am I that person that, when people meet me, like, I just want to share what God's teaching me. I want to share these words of praise. And throughout the day, I've just got this melody going on in my heart. And I'm thanking God for everything. And I'm not rebelling and cursing leadership. I'm happy to come under, you know, godly leadership. And it's all good. I mean, wouldn't you love to be around a person like that? You know? I mean, imagine how many more friends you would have if you were this way. You know, it's just like, gosh, he's always uplifting. And so this is what the Holy Spirit can do in us. And then obviously you've got the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Like, are these the things that people, when they spend just a few minutes with you, this is what they see? Oh my gosh, that's the most loving person I ever met. The most joyful person, most peaceful, the kindest. Okay. And maybe you're listening, you know, you're hearing this list and you're very convicted. Like the idea of this is not to bum you out. Like, oh man, I'm none of that. You know, I mean, if you're none of it, yeah, maybe you should think and consider, wow, what's going on? Is the Spirit in me? But again, understand, we're going through a lot of stuff over these weeks of what we want our leaders to be like. We're not saying, okay, so by the end of the next week, I want all these things in your life. But I'm just saying, man, aren't we agreeing this is what we want? This is what we want to be. And let's pursue this and pray for each other. And then the joy of knowing the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And so if you're not a naturally patient person, you're not a naturally joyful person, you're not a naturally loving person, it's like, that's okay, because the Spirit of God is in me, and He can make me all of these things. That's what He wants to do in me. Rather than, you know, too often in church, we have these excuses like, well, I'm just an angry person. God knows that. You know, it's like, what does that mean? Why do you even talk like that? It's like, we can't talk like that. That's not the way a Spirit-filled leader talks. And I just think about what God has done in my life just with anger and lack of joy and, gosh, just patience and stuff. Just certain things I didn't think I'd ever overcome. You know, when I was younger, I just thought I'd be an angry person. And I still remember, you know, like we all have weird childhood memories. And I just remember as a kid, like my aunt who lives out in San Francisco, I just remember her looking at me one time and just going, "Why are you never happy? You always, you know, you look so sad, you know." And I remember this other time, you know, because you remember little things. I remember one time my dad was cooking a fish, and you know, Chinese, we cook the whole fish. Why you waste the head, you know? And you just put the whole thing on there. And I remember just walking by, you know, that fish, you know, that has like a natural frown. I don't know if he does that before you catch him, but you know, it's just got that, you know. And I just remember making a little stupid comment as I'm walking by my dad and going, "Wow, that fish looks sad." And I still remember my dad looked at me and goes, "That's how you always look." I was like, wow. You know, like I still remember it just stuck. Like, that's how I always look? You know, like it's just, I just not happy. Like just, and that's true. Like I think of that. And I, you know how some people, they're just by nature, they're just joyful. Like, Christian or not, like they're just born happy and they're the happy kids in elementary school or whatever. And I just wasn't that, you know? And I just, yeah, it's weird. I remember the day I took my oldest Rachel to a camp, you know, speaking at, and unbeknownst to me, they took her aside and interviewed her. They said, "Hey, we don't want your dad here. We just want to interview you. And just, what do you think of your dad? What's the first thing you think of when you think of your dad?" And she goes, "Joy." he's just got so much joy. And I thought, whoa, really? And then I remember it was right after that that I, you know, we were on the plane home or something, and I was talking to some stranger next to me, and we just talked about whatever. And she goes, you know, I hear what you say about what you believe. What I want to say is, I think you're the most joyful person I've ever met in my life. I'm like, seriously? That's so cool. I was like, that's just so not me. Like, and, you know, just where you guys, yeah, nothing seems to faze you. You're just good, thankful. And it's like, man, that's so cool. It gives me hope for the other areas in my life, too, that I'm growing in with patience or whatever else it may be. But we have to just look at even our worst characteristics and say, wait, if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is in me, then I want a supernatural turnaround. I want a miracle. I mean, I remember like with the anger when Rachel was like 2 years old and she was like crying in her crib or whatever. I remember just picking her up and just screaming in her face. I mean, this is like a 2 year, I don't even know if she was two yet. And just going, shut up. Like, and I just remember just dropping her in her crib and just, I just go, man, I can't believe I just did that. Like, I could just feel my shaking over a baby. Like, I didn't know I was, you know, that much anger. And I just, and I remember, you know, the way my dad would look at me and the way he would hit me and that anger a lot of times. And I'm just going, man, that's totally me now. And now I'm doing this. And I remember telling Lisa, I go, man, I just yelled at Rachel. I don't know what I'm doing. It's like I'm out of control. I remember just going out in the living room and getting on my knees and say, God, I know I have power over this. I don't want to become this angry person. I don't want to make her think that I'm just always angry at her. Like, change me. Like, I don't ever want to yell at her again. And, it was just coming before God. And I can honestly say, like, from that day on, I mean, not every sin in my life's like that, where it's like I pray and boom, it's gone. But I can say, like, with that, it really did. Like, I never did that again. I never yelled at her again. One time in junior high, okay? You know, I called her a bad word because she was so mad. Okay, but other than that, you know, it's like the pattern of my life. And so as you look at your life, I mean, this isn't about you. This is not, oh, look at Francis, how good he is. It's like I'm going, what the heck? I'm joyful? Where did that come from? Like, man, I don't get mad like that. That's crazy. Like, I thought it was going to be just angry, bummed out. You know, this is, you know, different areas. It's just, that's what God can do. And I think that some of you have seen that in your areas in your life. And to say, no, I want this with everything. Supernatural, like miraculously. And I'm praying that for my courage now and saying, God, I don't have that with the courage. I want that where I want to be shocked one day at how courageous I am. Right now, it just feels like I'm gutting it out and forcing myself and disciplining myself, and I need help to stay bold. But God, I want that miracle, Holy Spirit boldness, where he didn't, you know, like Paul told Timothy, God didn't give you a spirit of fear, of timidity, but of power and love and self-control. Okay? Like, this is what God gave us when he put his spirit in us. A spirit of power. Not sitting around going, oh, I don't think I can do anything great for the church. I don't think I have a lot to offer the church. You're not speaking by the Spirit right then. Because that's not what he said. He says he gave you a spirit of power. And a spirit of love. Okay, that he's given us an ability to love the most unlovable, you know, the most harsh, aggressive, to love ISIS, to love rapists, to love those, not only the victims of sex trafficking, but the perpetrators. I'm going, man, okay, God, I want that. I want that. You said I can have that spirit of love and a spirit of self-control where the addictions, that I don't know, the numbers they say are just staggering of how many people are addicted to pornography nowadays. And they go, no, I don't have to look at any of that. God, you gave me a spirit that goes beyond all this. I have self-control. I don't have to stare at her. I don't have to think those thoughts. No, not to believe these lies. It's like, no, this is who I am. The spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead is in me, and I've got this spirit now of power, love, and self-control, and I just want to be this person that has this love, joy, peace, patience, that's thanking God for everything. You know, all of this, that just like a person who's drunk, you could tell in a few minutes, like, I want to be so filled with the spirit that people could see, that everyone could see. Like, that's what we're after as a supernatural group of people, so that when people walk in and this is the character, you know, what these people are known for is they gather and they love each other so much and care for each other so much that they go, okay, you can't manufacture that. That's not a concert. That's not just putting on a good service. That's like a group of people that have been radically changed and transformed. They went from death to life. I know how she used to be, and now I see her. I know the way that guy used to be, and I see him now. And the way that this body performs, it's like, wow, this is the way God created human beings to be. Like, that's what we want to be as the church. And so this is what we're pursuing. And so last passage I'll leave you guys with is 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world because of sinful nature. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just reminding you that His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Talks about how no one has an excuse in this room. Okay? He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. He's made us partakers of the divine nature. But then what I love about it is he says, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. So it's not a passive thing either. Okay, I don't want you to think that, okay, yeah, he's given me the Holy Spirit, so all this stuff's just going to start happening to me. No, there's this truth that, yes, he gave you his Holy Spirit, so this stuff will happen, but it's not exclusive of you making every effort. You see how the Holy Spirit of God and him entering in us and then our effort work together in this somehow? There's a marriage. I don't get it completely. All I know that I can't say that I don't have to work at some of these things. I'm amazed at how it's changed. I'm amazed at how quickly certain areas have turned around in my life. But other ones, man, it's just like this constant work. And so I don't want you to think that, oh, once we receive the Holy Spirit, all these character qualities happen to us passively, even if we don't want them to. Okay? It's not like it's forced upon us. We make every effort, and God Himself gives us this tremendous power, and then we become these people. And so as we talk about our churches and our people, I just want to make sure we don't just get into a habit of running meetings and having gatherings and doing things that could be easily explained in the flesh, but to say, gosh, this book is about the Holy Spirit. I remember my youth pastor used to say, you know, it says the Acts of the Apostles. It really should have been called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. You know, like let's be careful even this morning in our gathering. There's like, okay, let's remember who's doing all of this stuff. And so that it's not about Paul, it's not about Peter, you know, or Timothy, but it's about the Holy Spirit. And it's the same Holy Spirit today who wants to do that through us. And that should give us confidence to go, I'm not looking at myself in the flesh. God tells me not to do that. I'm a new creation now, and I've got a tremendous power. And as we live this way and just start thinking this way and talking this way, the people are going to pick up on it. And I just thank God for you guys. Seriously, this is really fun for me, even as I teach this and look you in the eyes. And you know, sometimes it's like a blank stare from certain crowds, like, I don't know about this. And yet with you guys, it's like, I feel like it's something where you've always thought this, you've always believed this. And it's almost like I'm giving you permission to go, no, it's okay. We all believe this in this room, and we're all going after this, and we kind of need each other to do this, because for too many years we've been discouraged and people telling us, well, that was back then, or, oh, you don't have to be so hard on yourself, or this or that or the other thing. It's like, no, there should be tremendous power, and I'm not going to make excuses for my sin. I'm going to make every effort. I got power over it. And don't let me go on my stuff. You know, you tell me and say, no, you got more power than that, because this is what we all want. And I just want to become this supernatural, spirit-filled body that the world looks on and goes, wow, I've never seen anything like that. And what a perfect time to do that.